Studio Funk. Hello and welcome back to another episode of Studio Funk Plus. On today's show, continue with the theme for this month for gospel, boogie, funk and soul. We got a DJ and collector from the Oakland Bay Area who is also part of the DJ crew Parish Council. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show, Cool Rao.
Hey, what's up? What's up? Gospel records. Yeah, yo, let's go. I don't know, how am I supposed to follow up? Tone Be Nimble. That guy, the guy's the man.
He is. He digs deep. I don't think no one can follow up on him. Seriously.
Yeah, what's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome to the choir.
Indeed. We're all sitting down now with our Bibles in hand and ready for you to preach the sermon right now.
Yeah. So, speaking of your guest, Tone Be Nimble, so, like, that's, you know, like he said, you know, like, Jeremy from Rain and Shine, like, you know, he was kind of, you know, finding joints listening to his mixes, and likewise, like, I, you know, knew of Tone Be Nimble even before gospel when he was, you know, producing for All Natural, so I was like, it makes sense, like, this dude's digging for gems. That's where you get these samples, like, yo. But gospel was never really something that I was digging for, because I started buying records probably like when I was 15. You know, just on some sample stuff. Like, my dad, he was just like the crazy jazz head, I would find records randomly that were sampled just listening to what he would be playing in the house.
Right.
And I'm talking about like jazz, more of like the jazz loops, you know, like Tribe, Beat Nuts type stuff.
Right, right.
You know, so that's what my gateway into buying records was, you know, doubles of 12 inches, dilated peoples, gotta have doubles. This early late 90s, early 2000s. And you know, looking for jazz loops. And never thought I would be buying gospel records.
Indeed.
Never thought. I was a little Catholic kid in Spanish church, just waiting, itching to get out because I didn't want to be there. But now I'm like, you know, we're paying stupid money for the music.
That's crazy, right?
Yeah.
Even a bit like myself, I did go to like Catholic schools as a kid, like first school was a Catholic school, and like during church those early days, and obviously you get to a certain age, and I think my parents were just like, yeah, we're quite done with that now. But it's like, it is funny now, like years later, decades later of my life, here we are, like you say, digging for gospel records. And it's mad because it's still like a area of genre which still feels very undiscovered. There's a lot of stuff out there like no one's probably found yet that someone's waiting to find and will find it.
Yeah.
And it is probably people like Tone Be Nimble who's going to do that for us.
Right.
Because in that interview that I was saying to him, and he was saying to me that he's been digging records for a long time and doing it in an era where you didn't have discogs at your fingertips. So this guy was just like, he's saying in an interview, he's saying that he's buying records in bulk, buy like 50 records and might find any like two good gems out of 50.
Yeah.
Madness. Absolutely mad.
Word. Yeah.
So like on today's show, what we're gonna do is, I know that you are, you know, you've got a crazy collection yourself, and
thank you.
As I say, humbly speaking, like, I'm really always interested to see what you share within your collection. And that's the reason for today, to have you on the show, is to share some pieces that you've got in your collection, which is well suited on that gospel tip, and some of the, let's say, favorites that you have.
Yeah. So, speaking of, you know, stuff being undiscovered, I think let's try to check out that Wendy Nevers track first.
Cool. I tell you what then, so what we do, should we get into it right now and have a little discussion about afterwards?
Yeah. Play the joint and then we'll talk about how I came across that.
Cool. Let's get into it now then. This is Wendy Nevers with a track called It's All Right.
When
A fantastic track right there by Wendy Nevers with a track called It's All Right. I have to say myself, I wasn't aware of this one until you shared it today, so thank you for that.
Yeah, so with that, so might not be the most knowledgeable, give you the background story of where the person from, where they went to school and all that, but definitely I picked these records just because of the interesting ways that I came across them. So with Wendy Nevers, you know, this was just like random scouring eBay, like just, you know, one of the main places, you know, some of us get records when we're not out in the field, you know, eBay, Discogs, you know, we all do it, whether you want to admit it or not.
Late nights.
Yeah. So, no, dude, this, it was just, it had been sitting there, and what caught my eye is just, you know, Red Label. But the font of the label's called, the record label's called Exodus. And it's kind of like this scratchy, I don't know how you would say it, like a kind of a scratchy fire breath type of font.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what is this? And why is it so cheap? Yeah. You know, I don't have the money to, you know, be dropping, you know, $1K on records that I see on Discogs or at a fair record swap. But the eBay gods tend to bless me every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was one of them. So it had a sound clip, and I'm like, oh, this is dope. Why is, you know? And I sat on it for a while, and for weeks. It was just on my watch list. And nobody bought it. And it only had a clip of that intro, right?
Interesting.
So, yeah, the intro was, you know, that synth, the way it, you know, it plays normal, but then all of a sudden, you know, it just has that little, like, the little funk wiggle of a synth, and I was just like, oh, maybe I'll take a chance on it for $20. And then I get it, and I'm like, this whole track's amazing. So I picked this one because it's like probably maybe the most normal of the tracks we're going to go over today. Because Cool Raul, I buy weird records. You either like them or you don't, but that's just me. you know. So, yeah, man, I mean, just Wendy Nevers, it's actually, the flip side had her signature on it, but it didn't have like a name who she gave it to. It just said Love Wendy.
Wow.
So it was a copy that she gave out, you know, like a lot of those gospel records, you know, probably just pressed up for the neighborhood or something, you
exactly.
know?
Exactly. And then that goes to another point, actually. When I think about these gospel records, I also think about the context of, like, low quantities, just using their local church. And especially when you go to, like, some of those gospel LPs where they've got, obviously, the lesser tracks, but they've got instrumental versions. And in my head, I'm thinking they blatantly played the instrumental version in church, so everyone could just basically do, like, kind of like a karaoke to it with the everyone attending the church ceremony.
Yeah.
But back to this Wendy Nevers record. It's great, man. Really nice record. It's got a nice cut and feel of like modern soul, but you then got this nice dash of boogie on top of it as well.
Yeah, it's just that little sprinkle of boogie that makes the track. Because other than that, to me, it just sounds like another uplifting gospel song. You know? But yeah, that's a part of what I think is the charm of gospel music. Even if you're not of faith, it's just like, it's uplifting music. Like, it just, when I heard that Wendy Nevers track in full for the first time, I was just in a good mood. And I mean, the message of the song is just like, you know, everything's going to be all right, you know? And yeah, man, I mean, that's something that gospel records will do to you, man. It definitely, like I said, even if you weren't, like I just mentioned, even if you're not of faith, man, it's just like if and even tone was mentioning, some people don't even listen to the lyrics, like they don't realize it's a gospel record, but it's just the tone of the you know, the music, the harmonies, the voices, the feel, the vibes, all that stuff. And it's just like, man, it's really uplifting music.
Yeah, man, just good positive energy. It's great. So, moving on then to your next selection, we got, there's a lot of good stuff lined up here, and I don't want to, like, give it away.
I'm just like, yeah, man, now we're going to get weird.
here comes the rareness now.
Yeah. So, I guess we'll still keep it a little bit traditional, but a little quirky. So, the next one, I guess let's try Billy Neal and Charity Rescue.
Yeah. This is a special one. Anyway, yeah, let's get into this. This is the Billy Neal and Charity Rescue with a track called Too Many Minds Shaken Up.
How many times did you say to my brother they were walking by faith?
How many times did he say, my sister, that he saved us through grace?
Well, the ones that put us down are the ones we must pray for when they fall in line.
With a smile on our face, we must tell of his grace.
That was another great selection there. I have to say, Raoul, this, your selections here are nuts. This is only the second record, and let's take it from the top. When I first heard this, this is, if you had to define lo-fi, this is definitely it. This will be a good description for it.
Yeah, man, and I mean, dude, I love a lo-fi. I love me some lo-fi bedroom productions, let me tell you. But those knobs are turned all the way up, like, dude, this record is like, there's no bass. It sounds like it was recorded with a boom mic. I'm like, I hope it's at least audible to use on your show. But yeah, the highs, mids, lows, I turned them as far up on my mixer as I could for that recording. Just because you know, this is the Studio Plus episode, I'm gonna keep reference, you know, I feel like this is the baby episode, like baby sister episode to Tone B Nimble, since we're on the gospel tip.
Yeah.
So I'll keep referencing it. So like he was mentioning, you know, there's a lot of songs that they're dope, but you can't play them out. This is one of them.
Mm.
Like this, like to me, this record's special. It's what do people call it? Cosmic disco, but that's what it sounds like. It sounds like some like asteroids, stars shining. You're flowing through space, but in this case it's gospel, so we don't believe in space and aliens. Right. That's not religious, but anyway, so this record, so it comes out of JCE Records in St. Louis. They have quite a few, I'm not sure if they solely do gospel music, but that's that's the other kind of music that I know the label for, at least like maybe four other titles. But yeah, dude, that one, it makes me have a feeling when I hear it, like, and it's not what I was just previously saying, like uplifting, but this is just like you could get lost in that song, like totally, just like you're listening to it, you're enjoying it, but then you like blink and you shake your head like, oh shoot, wait, what time is it?
I think it's because it's got quite a lot of layers to it. As lo-fi as it is, like, it's not obviously like a good, like, let's say, perfect recording, and that's what makes it special. It's not perfectly done, but it's like, it's so edgy, and it's got this, you can imagine when they recorded that at the time in that particular place where they recorded it. I know a lot of the time they talk about the Holy Ghost and that, yeah. This is some, you know, as real as it can be, like, you sense that there was something in that room that day. complex, seriously.
Oh, yeah, man, dude, that's perfect imagery, man. Like, yeah, that's a perfect way. Like it's almost haunting the way, like, the those, like, sounds like a synth voice, like a synth voice noise. But it's, yeah, man, that's dude, the flip. I don't think I sent you the flip side of it, but just to describe it real quick, it doesn't even sound like that. It's just like, it's just a drum machine beat and vocals constantly saying Jesus is alive. And it's just, it's equally as haunting, but in a different way, because it's like it's like just this kind of fast drum machine track, which I've come to find out over the past few years that I've been collecting, digging into gospel music, is that the drum machine sound, oh my God, that's my favorite lane, and we'll definitely see that in some of the next records.
Yeah, I think you sum it up perfectly with the word haunting, and it's really well suited here. It's a special one, and it's one of those things now where, because I'm aware of it now, I will keep my eye out for it. But at the same time, this is something where I'll probably never ever come across. Like, nah, this is a special one, and but I'm glad that you shared it today, and I feel honored to have this featured on the show.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that label is a good one to look out for. Like, if you see it, most likely, you know, might be some dope stuff. There's actually the guy who sold that to me. He had another one that, come to find out, I didn't realize wasn't even like listed on Discogs, because I wrote down the title when he offered it to me. Like, it was like a offline deal, and I saw somebody that we might all know sell it. The record that he offered me that was not listed on Discogs, and he sold it for a lot of US dollars, and I was like, dang, I got offered that, and I didn't know what it sounded like. He just told me the title, and it was like crazy boogie track. It wasn't even gospel,
right?
And I was like, oh man, foiled again.
Sometimes you can't just get all the gems at once, and
yeah,
you let things, thing, let things slip.
Yeah, but you know, that's the thing. So you know, if you're starting to buy, if you're listening to this and you haven't been buying records long, you know, once you find a cool label, you know, kind of stick with it or look for things that look similar. Sometimes, like with this JCE label, they have a release that doesn't even have their most used logo. So all their logos, you know, have like kind of like a brown blue label, and JCE, it looks like a painted label, but the original, it looks like there's a one that's just a plain brown label, which is the type font. So, you know, labels, they're probably the easiest thing to start off whatever genre you're buying. Like, find a label, start digging.
Indeed.
So
moving on to the next selections here.
Yeah, so I know when I sent you over the tracks, I sent you over one by Reggie Grantham in the New Generation. And your reaction to it was interesting. So let's play that one next.
Yeah, let's get into that now. This is Reggie Grantham and the New Generation with a track called Come Together.
We've got to come together. We've got to come together in Jesus' name. Sleeping on the streets, only children, they don't have enough to eat.
together. This is the master's plan. We are a come together.
Another good one, and I have to say I've heard this before a few places. Maybe I think it's just my mind gets blurry at times because you know what, it's one of those things where I listen to quite a lot of people's mixes and stuff and I can't remember. Part of me thinks maybe the homie Famous Lee played this, I think, something that he did, like a tape. But anyway, yeah, this is a really nice record, man. Really, really good. And once again, it's got that great energy of uplifting music that gospel music is so known for.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, Drum Machine, this is perfect example of that. It's like, you know, not for everybody. There's a certain little charm to it for me because I like the kind of, like, quirky stuff. So, I'm not sure... I'm not sure how it is in the UK, but over here in the US, Coming to America is a classic. Did that reach you guys?
Like, yeah,
you
know, of course.
Eddie Murphy
comes. Yeah,
to?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, yeah. You can, I mean, yeah, you can tell me. Yeah, I mean, you know, you'd be like, yeah, shut up. We're not foreign. we're not like another planet. Yes, we love that movie too. So that's Coming to America. That's that band. It's that Jerry Curl. Velvet Suit, dude. That's that kind of music to me. That's when I first heard it, that's what it reminded me of. It brought me back to my childhood.
Activator.
Yeah. Again, what was his name? Reggie Watson or
that's
whatever.
That's it, Reggie Watson. Ladies and gentlemen, same name. Reggie Watson. He's just like, how you doing, ladies?
Yeah. Yeah, so that's when I first heard this track, I was like, yeah, this is that. That's what it brought me back to. And I was like, man, this is just some dope stuff. It's like fake audience, like clapping in the middle of the song. And like, it sounds like he's with the band, but I think it's just him. Like, it sounds like he's singing with himself, like on some Quasimodo stuff, you know, like.
Yeah, yeah. At first listen, you do think he's with like a full-on band, and I feel like he's got backup singers and it's all like driven. Then when you realize it's just like one dude in his bedroom with a machine, you're like, oh, the energy on this is hard. It's good.
Yeah. So initially, when you're looking at the list of tracks that the files that I sent you, you're a little on the fence about this one at first.
Nah. So it's basically it straight away the name stood out to me. I was like, I know this one. Then I realized, oh yeah, this is the one that I've known it's been reissued as well.
Yeah.
And then I think what I was trying to say to you in the message was that I've been on the fence about getting the reissue. Because I was just like...
Okay, yeah, Lost in Translation.
Okay. Yeah, because I was just like, oh, I'm not sure if I would buy the reissue. I was just like, And there's a lot of copies of it on Discogs, just to let people know. Like, if you're interested in the reissue, you can get it. And the reissue is on ICE Records. And it was reissued in 2018. And it's reissued on some label in Europe somewhere. And I don't know, I'm just skeptical. So I was just like, nah, I think I'll rather just like weigh it out and never know. This record might just cross my path one day.
Yeah. It's, it was just kind of like I was right place, right moment when I got that record. Didn't pay much for it. And it was, I think it might have been like the first gospel record when I was playing with, first started playing out with Robert Big Happy as the parish council.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, yo, you have that? I want that. I was like, it's rare to get that guy to say something like,
I just about to say,
you have that?
Like, for him to be like looking at you like, I want that record, is that must be a rare scenario, because this guy seems like he's documenting everything.
I mean he's been collecting records for a long time, but like during the pandemic a lot of us were home, and that guy went into overdrive. But
like most of us did, man.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, you know, with your, you know, naturally with friends and crews, like, you know, we find records, we find doubles, and we hit each other up. Like, yo, I found this, I got another one, you know, here you go.
Mm.
But it's getting a little bit harder to do that with him now. He's like, oh yeah, I got that already. I'm like, well, you... But, with the... back to the record, like, yeah, man, like, that's... Man, it's one of my favorites. It just has everything that has, like... why I collect records, like, it has everything about it. It has charm, it's dope, I could play it out, I think I could play it out. And it has that quirkiness, and it's nostalgic, as in, like I was saying, it brings me back to my childhood, sitting in my living room with my parents watching Coming to America.
It's a really, really, really nice record, really uplifting. This is definitely one of the ones that's on your list. I'm like, yeah, it's been on my want list. So when I went to my Discogs, it said like, yeah, on my want list, added X amount of months ago. And I was like, yeah, it's that one.
Yeah. So the next record I think we should check out is by a group called Mint Cookie.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you want to do the A side or B side. I guess let's do Sweetest Thing to G.
Sure. Okay, let's get into that now.
Serving no one sweeter I've ever my feeble mind runs out of words to describe you. Since the day I found you, I can find no cause. No, no, oh, no.
My spirit wants.
Oh, my spirit wants. I seek you right, you're never dull. You're an essence of love from above. Breaks me down just like a dove. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Since the day I found you, I can find no faults. No, 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 no.
Another great track right there from your selection, and that was Mint Cookie with a track called Sweetest Things to G. Just the track title alone makes me like this record. It's like, I don't know, as like my hip-hop head, I was like, Sweetest Things to G, and I was like, oh, it's, I'm surprised no one on the hip-hop side has like stole that title.
I know, right? Yeah, I mean, like, shit, I'll say it. I don't know what the hell that means. But no, but like, that's the artist though, Andre LaFlora. He's a weird guy that I come to find out, you know, and this was like kind of like one of the first titles I've ever found from his work, because he has a lot of releases, albums, 12 inches, 45s, quite a handful of them, but they're all like under different names. But the name Andre LaFlora will be like in the fine print, so that's how you can know it's from him.
Right.
Yeah. So with the Mint Cookie thing, I remember buying it, and it was kind of like among the first when I first started buying 45s. That was kind of like in that first batch. Long story short, quick cutback. Been buying records since I was 15, like I mentioned at the beginning. But I fell in love, fell back in love, fell out of love with the whole record thing, because sometimes it could be a headache, sometimes it could be a thrill. I think I probably sold off my like most of my collection, maybe. Let's see. Buying records 15. I'm 37 now. And I think I've sold off my collection almost like 3 times now.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of regrets.
Yeah, don't but, worry, don't
but
worry.
The 45 game definitely like rekindled my passion, like more so than almost like any other time that I got back into buying records.
Yeah, that's quite similar to me actually. And just to like mention a little bit, like similar path. I was buying records from young as well. So same as you actually, like 15, 16. Mm-hmm. Buying records, and back then it was just like hip-hop records, strictly hip-hop. Back then, you know, I didn't have any 45s, to be honest. It was pure 12 inch and LPs. And I started building up a decent collection, and I had that mistake where I lent some friends some records that I never saw the light again of, and then records were just sitting around quite a lot. So like early 2000s records were just sitting around. End up selling some because it's just like, man, at this point, I remember I had records, but I had no turntables as well. So I was just like, is that kind of situation? So I ended up getting some records. But then, yeah, like years later, I started getting back into it. And I think it was just like, I remember taking some trips with some friends and then going to some record shops. And then I was just like, man. And then that discovery feeling of like finding stuff on like 45, you didn't know it was on 45. And I was like,
yeah,
this would be cool to have. And I was like, I can buy it. So I will buy it. And then that's it. It ignites that flame again. And then here you are back to modern day and in love with it more than ever.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it was seeing like YouTube clips of like, I think it was like Diamond D going around playing 45s. Like there's these random clips of him at like,
I think I've seen that small clubs. Well. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's kind of like, what got me into collecting 45s. So like, I'm like, okay, so these cause you know, grew up like we're hip hop kids. That's how I entered the game.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I was just like, oh wait, he's buying these, you know, like maybe I should start looking for these. And then, but anyway, so like, you know, with the mint cookie, that being in my first batch, I was just like, I'm a big, and we've had like little mentions of this through our chats as we known each other.
Mm.
It sounded like a Prince song to me, like that Prince vibe.
Yes, yes.
You know, with the drums especially. And to me, that's just like, oh, this is just like another, you know, like a kind of Prince clone song. And turns out to be one of the records early on that actually probably one of the only records that people have asked me straight up just like to trade for it.
Jeez.
And I always, as far as like just like records in my collection, although that one might not be the rarest of the rare in my collection, it's definitely like, I always remember that like
most
wanted
like, kind of thing.
Yeah, like this is like kind of the first record that people saw me have and started asking about it. And it was weird because, you know, like I said, to me it was just another dope track at the time. I wasn't trying to, you know, be an archaeologist about it. Like, I just want to find a dope record. And I was like, oh, wait, hold on. So this song is on a album by Candle Tribe.
Yes,
and,
sir.
Yeah, and I was like, wait, but this is Mint Cookie. But and then how I found that out is somebody asked to trade that LP for the 45. That's how I found out. So he's like, hey, wow. I got the album if you want to trade for that 45. It's the same group. And I was like, what? Yeah, so the Andre LaFleur thing. So, yeah, and then, like, you know, another person had hit me up. I had posted it when I started posting records during the pandemic. Just, you know, just to have something to do. That's how I started posting records was just... I think it was just a little bit before the pandemic, but I was just like, I used to post random records randomly on Instagram when I first got on there. And then, I don't know, I kind of wanted like a cool looking feed. And even though I'm not taking the best photos, I was just like, I like my orange table.
The notorious orange table.
The orange table, the IKEA table. Yo, 1999.
I tell you all the time, man, I love the orange table. And it's like, anybody out there who's not aware of the orange table, if you just go check out Rao's Instagram, which is Cool Rao, just check it out, man. You'll see the orange table. But it's quite funny, actually, like retrospectively thinking about it. like I started following you and started talking to you in the pandemic, you know, and mm-hmm. that's how we started talking and stuff, and like, you know, how our friendship began. And it's funny because I do feel like the pandemic was a thing where like everyone's at home, right? So everyone's just like sharing their stuff. It was like a massive time to share your records. And it's the same with me. I kind of upped that quite a lot. I wasn't sharing as much. I would share a few things, but mm-hmm. not as much. And then it was like a daily thing that everyone's just sharing their records.
But I've come to learn, got to be a little bit careful with that because then the sharks come out, you know, sometimes, you know. Oh, like, hey, man, don't post that because I don't have a copy yet, you know. Because you're putting it on fools' radars. And I'm the type to share, you know, like, so I ain't really tripping. But, you know, that's a part of it, though. You know, if you post it, you're going to see zero copies on Discogs after it. Man, that Mint Cookie is just, oh man, it's so lovely. It's a lovely song.
And just to say, we're not done with Mint Cookie because we got something else on the flip, which is just as good, or probably could be better, which is crazy to say that.
Yeah, hey, yeah, play that.
Yeah, let's get into this now. This is the flip of the record. We've got Mint Cookie with a track called Daily Thing.
I want some of your time right now. Stop looking over me. Stop ignoring me.
You know Christ still loves you.
You'll be the morning bright now.
Gotta be a daily thing.
Knew you were there, didn't have to worry.
Gotta be a daily thing.
Dolly joy, fresh and sweet.
Gotta be a daily thing.
So good sometimes you don't need it.
Gotta be a daily thing.
What's the word?
Oh, 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 got to be a daily thing.
I want some of your time now.
Gotta be a daily thing.
Seek me while I may be fine.
Gotta be a daily thing.
Body love is your desire.
Gotta be a daily thing.
Every day you must inquire.
Gotta be a daily thing.
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Gotta be a daily thing.
No, you got to read the word.
Gotta be a daily thing.
Got to be a daily thing.
The ways in.
Gotta be a daily thing.
I was gonna tell my partner to join in.
Gotta be a daily thing.
Everybody knew your love was such.
Gotta be a daily thing.
They'd be knocking me down trying to take the stuff.
Oh,
This is a wonderful track. I'm, like I said, it probably is better than Sweetest Things to G. Mm-hmm. But to be honest, there is no better. It doesn't, we don't have to classify what's best here. They're just, it's a very nice record overall. But yeah, this record is good. And there's some nice little segments that kind of brings us to modern day with this record as well. But I'll let you get into this first.
Oh, yeah. So from your show, so like, I didn't know somebody did a cover of this. I think, yes, Tone B. Nibble mentioned it in his episode. Yeah, so like, you know, shout to XL Middleton and Monica. Mm. She covered it, right?
Yeah, she did. She
did.
Yeah,
and I didn't know that until, like I said, the episode. And as soon as he mentioned it, I paused your show and I went immediately to go listen to it. So shout out to Bandcamp. I was like, oh, because, I mean, you know, I preferred the ballad side. And the Daily Thing, I used it in a mix that I never uploaded on the internet. I mean, I used the very beginning of the song as the intro, just because, like, the way it starts out, like the synths, and the girl speaking, like, it sounds like an intro to a whole project as opposed to just the song by itself. And then it's just like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, like, you know, it's a pretty cool like start off to the week. So it would have been a start off to like the mixtape.
Nice.
Yeah, but it's a fun song, and again, back to the Prince thing, it sounds like early controversy Prince, right?
Yeah,
with the different vocals being used by the same dude.
He was the master of that, obviously. The guy.
Yeah, shout to Andre LaFleur, and if I'm not mistaken, I think it's a Memphis dude.
Mm.
So man, shout to Memphis, because that place is nuts with records.
Yeah, I'm realizing as well that I'm kind of like catching up on Memphis a bit. And I know Memphis is crazy, and it's a good rabbit hole to get in. And I think I'm about to dive in, so you might not see me for a while. But
yeah, and if you Patreon heads are record snobs and I got that wrong, excuse me, sorry. There's just so many titles. Yeah, so many titles, man. Sometimes I get confused. It's funny because, like, you know, with the crew, with, like, you know, when I'm talking about records with, like, Big Happy, I'm so bad with names.
Mm.
I'm like, yo, the yellow one with the thing on the top, like, you know, like, the grayish label, right? You know, like, I know the songs, and I'm so bad with names.
Wow, that's all good, man. Yeah. But this, yeah, Mint Cookie, Daily Thing. Fantastic record, fantastic track, really, really good. I can see why, like, seriously, why people really want this record and have approached you in the past numerous of times and willing to trade or do anything to get hands on it. So it's one of those things that sometimes, like, all of us collectors, you know, we all have our moments where we mm-hmm. buy a record at a particular time and it was like a perfect time to buy it.
Yeah.
And you had that moment with this one. So, man, salute to you, man.
Yeah, yeah, man. It's just, you know, thank God for Prince clones. Yeah, because that, yeah, like, it was just, like, it sounded like Prince. And then the label, if you, you know, you listeners get a chance to look it up, the label looks interesting because it's, like, written in the words are written in a swirl. Like, it's, you don't normally see that where it's, like, kind of, like, you have to spin the record to read the whole thing.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool, man. Really, really cool. So we've got, by looks of it, this could be our last one for your selections for today. And another special one. I have to say, man, you went full out. Well, we have to go all out with this heat right here of selections. And I'll let you introduce this one.
Okay. Yeah, this is actually a more of a recent find and kind of something that is one of those... I'll play the track and then I'll explain it. But yeah, the Converters, I've been converted.
Yeah. Okay, let's get into it right now.
Save my grace and wash through the blood of the Lamb.
Another good selection right here, and what a way to end the chosen records here. There's so much to say here, like very heavy boogie record that is very catchy. It's one of the things that I listen to it and I find myself like after one listen I was like, you know, hip to it and wanted to play it again and could catch myself even singing it to myself, and that's always a good sign.
Yeah, those when the percussions rip right off the jump, man, it's just like, oh no, what is this? Because I'm gonna be listening to this all day on loop. So, Memphis, back to Memphis,
yeah. Dude.
I wouldn't even expect something like this to come out of Memphis, let alone like it just sounds so ahead of its time for like the 80s. This sounds like some like late like. Almost early 2000s house music, if you ask me, like the way the melody of like the pianos, right? I mean, that's the vibe that I get from it, like garage, I guess, or as you guys say, garage,
right? We're British, we're garage. Yeah
But man, so this was a record that I heard on Greg's Belson's compilation, one of those what do you call it? Divine Disco.
Yeah.
So shout to those compilations.
Yeah, he's another heavy hitter with the gospel, man. Like he's another deep guy. Deep.
I had a pass on a record once from somebody offered me that was on my list, and I didn't have no money at the time. I was like, hey man. Let me wait till I get paid and I'll hit you back, but don't hold it for me. Like if you could sell it. I don't want to, you know, keep you for money. Turns out that record, Mr. Belson bought it.
Wow.
So I'll just keep the record and the person anonymous, but you know, he definitely swooped in on me once. So that's where I heard this Converters track. I just assume I would never get this record. So it was kind of just like I put it way on the back burner and kind of fell into my lap. And from some, this dude's never going to hear this. So I looked at his inventory and it looked like he was just selling rock records. And I was like, this guy doesn't know what this is. I almost feel guilty about it.
it's one of the ones where you feel like just overpaying a little bit just to make up the numbers. But
this was a steal.
We talking about a day like robbery here? Was it like you took it and ran? Yeah.
Yeah, and so when I get the record, and I look at it, dude, it says, you know, to my parents with much love or whatever,
no.
Deborah Flagg. So it's her copy to her parents.
What?
So, yeah, and I was like,
no way.
Like, you know, I'm already thinking I pretty much just robbed this guy of this record.
Oh,
he could have been
rich.
And like, oh crap. So, you know, like, dude, I got it. So I try to, you know, reach out. I try to, you know, track Deborah down.
Mm.
Deborah Flagg being the artist. So she actually, it says the Converters, and it says, I think, CFC or Choir or something like that, right? I don't have the label in front of me right now.
Mm.
But it's actually just all her. So she did the keyboards. She did the production. So, you know, the extra vocals are just, you know, her, what do you say? Congression?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's all her work. And, you know, she's you know, available, and, but I couldn't get a hold of her. But see, but I didn't try too hard because, you know, being the nice guy that I am, if she asks for the record, cause it's her parents' record.
She might want it back, and then you have
She might want it back.
Yeah.
I don't want to give it back, but who am I to not give something like that back to a person, right?
Right.
Yeah, so I'm glad I haven't gotten contact with her.
Yeah, yet. because that's really quite a real thing to say, really, because you can imagine her perspective. She might be like, it triggers some memories of her past. Have been like, oh, I gave that to my parents as like a Christmas present or something, and then, you know, just be like, it will mean the world to me to have it back. Yeah. Like you said, you can't reject that at that particular time. So,
yeah.
Put yourself in a weird scenario, doesn't it?
Yeah. And I mean, she's still active, you know, with the church scene and still with music and things.
Right.
But that reminds me of another 45 that I've been after. So there's an artist named Lady Jam, and it's a song called Thank the Lord. And it's kind of on the cosmic tip, but like, you know, I managed to find the artist, and she was like, oh my God, where'd you hear this record? But she was like, you know, I was, you know, trying to get a copy from her, but she was like, I don't even have a recording of this. Like, she was just like,
what?
I would just love an MP3 file of this, you know? Cause I told her, I was like, cause I guess, like she had drug problems or whatever, and
okay.
Then ended up going off to the army. And she was like, I had a stack of these records in storage. And when I came back from my tour, you know, her service tour.
Yeah.
Like, it was gone. So she's like, I have nothing
from
that recording. So she's like, you know, like, I'd give you a copy if I had one. But she's like, if you ever find one, please, like, send me a file. Like, just so I could have it. And I was, yeah. So
that's
you
deep,
know,
man.
Yeah, so like with the Converters, I was kind of like thinking about that interaction, where like, yo, it's just a dope song. Maybe something was going on at that time, and you know, like, I don't want to be greedy in that situation. Yeah, but this song's so dope, man. Don't put me in that situation. I need this. I need to play this, man.
Nah.
So, I mean that. So, like I said, I mean, I don't know how to describe that track, but just it's ahead of its time for being, you know, being in the 80s.
Yeah, man. It's a really fantastic record. It's great, man. And I think it's like a perfect one to finish the selection for today. I'm actually quite speechless about this record. I'm actually speechless as well about, like, there's some scenarios of, like, contacting those people and, you know, the scenarios of like they don't have a copy of the records at all, and that's another thing, like, that's what makes these records like even extra special than, you know, let's say the average record or you know we both like look out for the obscure rare records of, like, you know, other funk records and such, but when it comes to gospel records, it's another caliber completely, because the low batch, and just to give people a bit of context here with gospel records, is like 9 times out of 10 these are private press records, meaning they wasn't made or put through a big distributor. In fact, it was never distributed at all. Most of the times it was a record that was only just given to people in their area, like you said earlier, the neighborhoods, people who are going to the church, and that's about it. And a lot of these people, like you said, now making me realize they don't own the music at all anymore. It's just such a thing of the past.
I mean, some of these people don't even like remember. Like, I was just talking with the artist yesterday, and he was like, I can't even remember where I recorded this. Like, what? Like, it's a trip. And I mean, like with the Converters, like that label is just plain white with just black type. Like, it totally promo looking.
Mad. Man, thank you so much, Raoul, for today. It's been a good insight into these records, and it just, you know, it's that good insight that also just, even for myself as a collector, it's going to keep me curious as well about looking out for some stuff. And like I said on the main podcast show as well, is that sometimes gospel feels like a rabbit hole, which I'm scared to get into, because it's such a, you may get into it and you may never return. And
you might find yourself
in a Tone B Nimble situation.
I mean, you're up at like, what, 1 a.m. trying not to wake up your wife, scrolling through Discogs with the screen on low light. We all do it. We all hit and refresh about a few times in a row.
Guilty, man. I'm guilty.
But shout out to Tone B Nimble, Greg Belson, all Jeremy Rain and Shine, all these people that are, you know, like put out these comps and are willing to share music to, you know, to an whatever extent, whether it be reissue or even just telling even your own homies, you know, not even on Instagram or whatever. Like, shout out to all those people. Shout out to you, you know.
Thanks,
for,
man.
For you know, having a platform to have these people actually speak, so we could hear what they got to say, you know.
Much appreciated, man. Appreciated. Yeah, man. And thank you for this, taking out some time. And just want to say once again, thank you, and enjoy the rest of your day, man.
Yeah, man, for sure, man. You as well. Have many safe experiences across the pond. That's what you say, right? Across the pond.
Across the pond.
Oi, oi, and all that stuff.
Indeed, man. Indeed. All right. Thanks, Raoul.
All right. Thanks, man.
All right. Peace.